This podcast is all about the latest developments in Kansas State athletics. From football to basketball and everything else in between the college town of the Little Apple, it's the Purple Project Podcast. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what is going on? This is another edition. Welcome back to another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, episode 164. We're recording this on June 29th, 2023, on the eve of going into another month. Hard to believe it's the end of June, and things are starting to pick up around here in Manhattan, Kansas. Welcome on board of the podcast. Your first time listening to this other K-State podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. We are all about all things K-State. Basketball, football, track and field, volleyball, soccer. We all got it right here on this podcast. Your first time listening, welcome on board of the show. Glad you're able to stop by and give us a listen here whenever you listen to this. This will go out. I'll be going out of town tomorrow. I'll hopefully have this posted by then tomorrow night. So there's that. You can listen to this podcast for a project podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whether that's iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple, and appreciate the comments here lately on this podcast. Even though it is the off season, still got stuff going on. Appreciate the comments here as of late. And of course, I posted a recent weekly as well, recapping Grandma's Marathon, which is hosted by yours truly did. So make sure you go check that out as well. So you're going to have two dailies to listen to as we approach July 4th as well. So we got a lot down the pipe as far as shows goes as well. It's awesome, awesome stuff. Even though it's the quote-unquote the slow season, things here in the broadcast are really starting to pick up here. So that is very, very exciting. Exciting heading into the new calendar athletic career, athletic season, and exciting times for football as well. More on that on this podcast here coming up. But now, time to bring on my co-host as usual for this podcast. We had to call an audible because our special guest was not able to make it due to a last-minute change. But we did not call an audible for this podcast. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Alex, what's happening tonight?
Not much, Eddie. No audible called on my end. Not this week, but yeah, guest called an audible, no problem. We have plenty to talk about. Happy to be here. And everything's good, Eddie. Everything's good out here. It's just kind of I don't know. You can feel it slowing down a little bit. Kind of everywhere a little bit, but you know, again, you mentioned it. Things are really going to rev back up here really quick. I can't believe that it is already the end of June. It's just unbelievable that tomorrow's the last day of June. So when the listeners listen to this, it'll be the last day of June. And then next week is 4th of July, and man, Eddie, I mean we're really running. You know, once you kind of get past that, you can begin to see kind of the finish line of what's coming in August. So, things are kind of coming here pretty quickly. This summer is flying by. Lots of stuff to break down. One thing that we were talking about a little bit before the pod that we'll talk about more in the pod is football recruiting. We haven't talked a ton about that on the podcast this year, which is funny because we talked a lot about it last year. Granted, we talked about it a lot last year because recruiting class was just bonkers. Yeah. It was bonkers last year. But K-State got a big win tonight on the, I think it was about two and a half hours ago. One of the top recruits is at Kansas committed, so Cade Massey, so definitely we'll be able to talk about that. And kind of just give a little bit kind of an update on where recruiting stands for K-State on the football field. And unfortunately, I have seen this. It appears that KU is having a nice little year, 2024 recruiting class they're putting together. So, whatever, that's fine.
Here we go, folks.
They can put their little cute recruiting class together with their 38,000 seat stadium there in Lawrence that they're going to apparently build with your taxpayer dollars, Eddie. So, KU. Okay. You know, Eddie, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or not, but that it really there. there is a ton of hate between K-State and KU fans right now on Twitter over this proposed new football stadium for KU. It's wild. And it's funny because I'll be reading like these tweets and these threads and all this where the fans attacking each other, and they're literally getting into like, you know, oh, well, look how much we have in our endowment fund, and look how much we have here, and look how much we have there. And I'm just like, what are we even arguing over? I'm sorry. You're never going to find me on Twitter, Eddie, arguing over an endowment fund. You know, you're never going to find me on Twitter arguing over how much, you know, what's the difference between a bond and a grant, or a bond and anything else. Like, I'm sorry, I'll stick to sports. Now, look, just for my, you know, I've had a couple people ask me about this, about the KU football stadium. We will not get deep into the weeds.
Don't do it. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I've had a couple people ask about it. Yes. If I lived in the state of Kansas, would I be upset about it? Yeah, I'd be upset about it. Of course I'd be upset about it. K-State has found the way to privately fund all their facilities, because K-State's athletic department rocks, and they're awesome, and they're amazing at doing that. They've got fantastic donors. KU apparently can't raise money for their facilities the way K-State can, and yeah, so they found a loophole in the system, and you know, they're probably going to take your taxpayer money to build it. You know what? They still don't even have the money to do it with the taxpayer dollars. But yeah, they're probably going to take your money to do it. So yeah, it's sleazy. It's gross. Like it's not how, that's not how state funds are supposed to be used. But with that said, you know, if the state's going to let them do it, then K-State may as well find a new facility that they want to build and see if the state will pay for it too. Because you know what? I mean, if you found a loophole in the system, K-State can take advantage of it too. So it's not like it's only to KU. So that's kind of my take on that. But anywho, we won't get too far down that road, because that has been a fire on Twitter. I mean, it's been literally, it's like there's a road and there's fire on each side of the road when with this combo. But what we will stick to, sports, and we got some good stuff, football stuff coming up. And I know that in basketball they've got Joe Toussaint, the guard from West Virginia, visiting this week, as well as a forward from West Virginia as well who are visiting. So a couple West Virginia transfers in Manhattan this week for basketball. So a lot going on. You know, no games being played, Eddie, but a lot going on in the background.
Yeah, and there's when this podcast rolls out, there's going to be 35 more days until K-State women's soccer hits the field for their first preseason game as well. So a lot going on there. I am going to call an audible. We're going to continue the recruiting talk here for a little bit. As breaking news did go down, of course, you know, K-State was in high pursuit of three of the top five athletes in the state, right, going in. They land one of those a couple of hours ago in offensive tackle. We know, we talked about the offense two weeks ago in this podcast, as my watch is going off. Sorry about that. Getting some notifications right now. But, yeah, we talked about the offense 2 weeks ago. We're going to talk about defense here in a little bit. But sticking back with the offense here, Caden Massey, chew picking K-State. And I had the list here. Yeah, he beat out K-State, beat Nebraska, no shocker there, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. And we know the offensive line going into this year is outstanding. We talked about that already. That's well established already. But now, you want to continue to build on what you're doing right now. And huge game for K-State tonight. They're in getting Caden Massey there. I've been in and out on K-State Twitter here tonight there, so I have been keeping a close eye on Massey to see if K-State can get him, and K-State did get him, so what a huge get there. Alex, what are your thoughts on Caden Massey?
You know, Eddie, Caden Massey is a huge get for the Cats, for obvious reasons. He is, according to 24/7 Sports, the top recruit in the state this year. And that would be 2 years in a row where K-State has landed the top recruit in the state of Kansas. Now, depending where you're looking, there's some other recruiting sites actually have Michael Bogdanowski as the top And they got, they already have committed Gus Hawkins, who I believe is their first commit of the entire 24/7, of the entire 24 class. I think he was actually the first guy to commit in the whole class last year. Most have him somewhere in that 3 to 5 range as well. So he's already on that list. And but looking at Caden Massey, K-State is really focusing on the trenches and getting staying. I shouldn't say getting good in the trenches. They are good in the trenches. They were good last year. They have everyone returning. That's very well documented. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the Big 12 this year, if not the country. And one of the deepest, probably, too. But they're really continuing to turn over those stones in the recruiting trail, Eddie. Again, Gus Hawkins is an offensive lineman. They were able to snag him with their first pickup of the year, which, again, came earlier. I think it was actually 2022 when it came during the football season. And then now they land Massey, who is a tackle, top guy in the state, and they are in hot pursuit of Grant Bricks as well, who is actually the top offensive guard in the entire country and is the, according to the 24/7 composite, he is the 83rd national player, the 83rd best player, period, in the class of 2024. So K-State is right in the thick of that in the race for Bricks, too. So if you brought in Bricks and you brought in Massey and you brought in Hawkins, that is three of the top linemen that you're going to find on the recruiting trail. And so, we've heard Avery Johnson talk about this. I mentioned Avery Johnson because he'll probably be the quarterback in the Zimpacks. But we've heard Avery Johnson talk about this, and he actually mentioned it tonight at a banquet right after Massey committed. He said, offensive line is the most, that's the most important position group on the entire football team. He said it literally impacts every facet of the offense. And he said, so I'm glad that we're going in and we're recruiting offensive line hard and we're really going after them. And so I agree with him 100% that it is absolutely one of those important things on a team because, and we know this, if you don't have a good offensive line, that impacts your passing game. It impacts your running game. It impacts everything you do offensively and you do schematically. I mean, it really impacts every facet of the game. So we say it every year, Eddie, when we're doing game previews, and we'll say it again this year. Games are won and lost on the lines.
Yeah.
They're won and lost on the lines. And K-State is making a concentrated effort to really go after the top guys when it comes to the lines and getting good lines, in this case, an offensive line. And they have a really good coach in Connor Riley who can coach these guys up and can really prepare them and maximize their skills. So being able to add Massey to that group is big for K-State. And as I shared with you before we got on the pod, last year, Kansas, the state of Kansas, had a historic class. That was one of the best classes, if not the best, recruiting class to come out of Kansas in football, and or the state of Kansas. And K-State landed 6 of the top 12 guys in that class. That was a movement, Eddie. That was a movement because K-State had struggled, right, years past, to be able to keep in-state guys. To be able to get to recruit them. I mean, that was a problem. Iowa State was coming in and getting them. Iowa was coming in and getting them. Nebraska was coming in and getting them. They were really struggling against the team, especially Iowa and Iowa State. They were really coming down here and getting some of the players in the state of Kansas, and K-State just could not win that. Then the tide really turned last year when they were able to get Avery. You know, they were able to get Jordan Allen. You know, they were able to get Wesley. You know, they were able to get a lot of these guys, and it really turned the tide. And so now you come here into 2024, according to the 24/7 composite again, K-State has 3 of the top 5 in the class. And they, again, they're in the running for Bugnowski. And if they get him, that'd be 4 of the top 5 in the state of Kansas committed to K-State. So, and then looking at 24/7's rankings, you've landed the number one player in the state 2 years in a row. So yes, the state of Kansas, the recruiting is not, it's not like it was last year. Last year, it was a lot better recruiting class in the state. It just was. But with that said, K-State is still owning the state. That is what we saw last year, Eddie, that is carrying over this year. And K-State's beating out big teams. You just mentioned it. K-State beat out Oklahoma, who was going for Massey. They beat out Ole Miss, who was going for Massey. You know, we can say what we want about Nebraska. But they, you know, that Nebraska still has been a thorn in K-State's side in recruiting.
Not recently,
but they have in the past. And so, you know, K-State is able to beat out those schools. K-State is looking, you know, they're going up against, you know, I talked about Bricks. Bricks just got an offer from Alabama. And Ryan Wallace has a prediction on 24/7 that Bricks is going to go to K-State. I mean, just to put that in perspective, Eddie, I mean, just think about that, you know? I mean, just think, and again, I'm not saying that Bricks will go to K-State. I don't know what will happen there. I think that there's three different experts that have three different predictions on him, but point being is that K-State is, what they did last year is really carrying over, and that is something that you really want to see. Now, do I think that K-State will end up with as strong of a recruiting class this in 2024 or 2023? No, I don't think they will statistically, because the state of Kansas just wasn't as strong. And because of that, you're not going to quite have the same scores as you did on some of those tops recruits you did in the state of Kansas last year. But they're still going to have a really, really good recruiting class. Again, you know, there's a long way to go, but you kind of had a trio that they were targeting, and Massey was there right near the top, and now they've got Bricks and Wignowski, who are really the two that they're targeting now, with Bricks obviously being really the kind of the blue chip guy, kind of like Avery was last year. So you know, if they land those two guys, then I think you're looking at a class that is probably a top 50 recruiting class at that point. I think it'll put up to like nine on the recruiting list. And so you know, they've done a nice job. And you know, just to throw throughout there too, they've already got John Price, who's at Blue Valley.
Yep.
He committed to K-State in April, and he is going to be able to add depth to the running back room for them. So he's already there as well. I know I mentioned Miss Hawkins already, but yeah. So you really got to like what they're doing, Eddie. You got to like what you're doing, and I think that the bigger theme here is it's great to land Massey. But I think the bigger theme here is that you're seeing the trends continue that we saw last year. And that last year was not just like a blip on the radar. It wasn't just something that popped up out of nowhere and went away. K-State's kind of the hot and sexy thing right now, Eddie. They're kind of the hot and sexy thing, and it's carrying over again in recruiting. And again, this recruiting class isn't quite as strong as last year's, because the prospects aren't necessarily quite at that are in play aren't necessarily quite at that level, but you're still talking about some really, really good players, and you're beating out some really, really good schools, and you're owning the state, and that stuff matters, and that really can continue to impact class after class after class. And I'll go back to when we started this podcast, Eddie. We came on here, and we're like, K-State, just they need to get bigger, faster, stronger, more depth. Like that's what we talked about. Like the first 2 years on the pod, they needed better athletes on the field, and they needed depth, because they didn't have the depth to go up against some of these Big 12 schools they were going up against. And you can see that changing. You can see that tide turning. I was listening to Will Howard on the 3MA this week, and he was talking about how they just have grown dudes now. And they do. I mean, he's 100% right. They just got grown dudes. And it's because they are able to, they're really, you know, that hard work is beginning to pay off in the recruiting trail, whether it's transfers, whether it's recruits, whatever it may be, it's beginning to pay off. And so it's exciting to see that continue. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the other two guys. Again, Bricks, being able to get a top 100 recruit 2 years in a row would be insane. That would just be crazy if K-State could do that. But either way, regardless of what happens with Bricks and Wignowski, K-State's in a good spot, and as a fan, you've got to feel good about that. And they're really building a lot. You know, they're bringing in guys that are going to be able to replace the Cooper BBs and be able to replace the Levinstons and be able to replace the Panzers and all of, you know, all of them. And that's exciting. That's exciting. And then guys that can come in with Avery and can help protect Avery. Because let's be honest, Eddie, you don't want Avery to give it, you know, be getting beat up back there. You want him to have some protection. You want your blue chip quarterback back there to have some good protection. And Casey's going out there, they're getting him protection. So it's exciting to see.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yes, those building blocks that I've always referred to here on this podcast, and you're definitely continuing to see that. And yeah, you got an offensive line going into this year with obviously a veteran offensive line there. You need that depth, and right now Casey is clicking on all cylinders there. And yeah, we had a recruiting pod not too long ago about you need to get your own guys in your own state. And Chris Kleiman, Taylor Bratt and company, the rest of the coaching staff need to get a lot of credit for what they're doing. This turnaround that, yeah, we talked off air before hitting the record button here tonight that, you know, 2 years ago when we started this podcast, they were struggling. They were struggling.
Yeah.
Getting guys in your own backyard. And like you mentioned, yeah, you had other teams come in the state and grabbing some of these top recruits. Now, all of a sudden, and maybe this is KU a little bit too, but just focusing on K-State. K-State is starting to really flip the script on some of these schools that are trying to come in and get homegrown talent, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
About. So it's awesome to see from, obviously, an alumni's perspective there. Like, hey, I mean, these guys are good. Let's see if we can get them over to our school, you know. So, yeah, and Avery, yeah, he definitely going to need protection there, obviously, because you're going to lose. Obviously, we're still in late June, and we're not even close to August yet. But, yeah, he's going to need some dudes to protect him. Exactly, 100% there. And, yeah, you're going to hear us say in the previews, and even the post as well, games are won and lost. If you're the even the casual fan knows that. I mean, you have to win at the line of scrimmage. That is plain and simple there. So, K-State can do a lot of damage. I said this 2 weeks ago on the offensive expectations there that they can do a lot of damage this year up front, destroying opponents on the defensive side of the defensive line as well. So, but looking ahead at the future, you know, K-State needs to start at least looking towards the future. I mean, you're losing these guys, Cooper Beebe's the world of Levinston's, like you mentioned there. The Haylen Gilliam, he's a redshirt senior as well. Portier, if you can stay healthy, you're going to lose him for sure. But you're losing a whole lot of dudes. You got to bring in more dudes as well. And this is a huge start here. And then, of course, K-State on a watch for two more of these top three guys in the state. So very exciting to see. And this is kind of a little bit of breaking news here on this podcast. Obviously, the Daily's been taking a back seat for a little bit over the summer. They'll pick back up when soccer is about to begin there. But, yeah, huge gets for Connor Riley in Casey's offense there as they continue to stack up those building blocks.
Exactly. You know, you're right. That is a really a big get for them, big win for them. And, you know, again, yeah, a couple years ago, hey, you know, hey, Breece Hall, you know, you know, ended up going to Iowa State, you know, hey, you know, name your player, you know, that left. I mean, I can't remember what was the linebacker was who went to Clemson, and then he actually ended up going to Oklahoma. I can't remember, was it Koenig? Maybe was it Jerry Koenig? Was that who it was? I'm trying to remember who it was. So he was one of the top guys in the state. K-State was going really hard after. And yeah, so the point being is they were not winning recruiting battle in the state at all. And that tide really, really turned. And, you know, look, you know, last year, we mentioned it. Last year, things flamed out a little bit at you know, at times, you know, not being able to get, you know, Dylan Edwards, not being able to get John Randall.
Oh, boy.
Not being able to get, you know, Manning in Kansas City. But, look, I mean, you know, if that stuff was all gravy. You know, that stuff would have all been, you know, would have been whipped cream and cherry on top. To the dessert. I mean, K-State, last year having that historic class and getting six of the top 12 in that historic class, and getting the number one guy who really was the blue chip guy of the class, Avery Johnson, who was a quarterback as well, that was just, you know, massive. I mean, that was just, can't even begin to tell, you know, say how massive that was. So that was amazing. And again, you know, like I said, this class isn't as sexy as last year's class. It's not going to have the same expectations as last year's class, for the state of Kansas, that is. But it's bigger than just that. You know, it's about K-State being able to, again, win these big recruiting battles that they're winning against top-tier schools. And then again, this is going to translate into 2025, Eddie. This shows that this is a blip on the radar, that K-State's going to be able to come out in 2025, which also is supposed to have a really good Kansas class, and they should be able to compete and be able to recruit some of that top Kansas talent in 2025. And doing that allows you to build that depth on the team, and it allows you to keep other schools out of your state. And it's all just so integral into what you do. And how you build a team, and you know, it was something that Chris Klieman talked about when he got here, that, you know, he wanted to keep, you know, talent in the state, and you know, they weren't able to do that the first couple of years, but you know, they worked on it and they got there, and here they are. And I, you know, I just one point too with Grant Bricks, so when Keithan was on last year, I believe it was last year. Or it might have been a year and a half ago, but one of his visits on here, he talked about how good, and we all really talked about it, how good K-State is at identifying, and they've always been good at identifying a player, and how often was it that K-State would be the first team to identify a player, the first team to offer them, and then they end up blowing up, and they end up as a big recruit, and then they're, you know, K-State's out of, you know, they get bigger than K-State, right? They're bigger than K-State. They're getting bigger offers. K-State can't compete. But K-State's the first to identify them. K-State's the first to offer them. And that was a trend that we saw happen a lot. So they were always good at identifying the talent. Identifying the talent was never the problem. It was about, you know, can you keep the talent? I think that when you look at Grant Bricks, K-State was the first to find Grant Bricks. They were the first to identify him. They were the first to offer him a scholarship, and by a mile. And it took teams many, many months before they even got onto the Grant Bricks train. Now he's turned into a big deal. He's a top 100 recruit. He's the best interior offensive lineman in the country in the 2024 class. And K-State identified him. But K-State has not fallen out of the race for him. They are still in the thick of it. And I think that, again, will he end up at K-State? Will he end up in Nebraska? Will he end up at Oklahoma? It appears it's down to those three schools for him. I don't know. But where he'll end up... But if K-State, again, you got an offer from Alabama, too. Doesn't sound like he'll probably go there, but he did get an offer from Bama. But if you can win that recruitment, Eddie, or if you can even just be close to winning that, that shows you how much further K-State has made it on the recruiting trail, where they don't identify a player and just completely lose them, you know, once they become a big thing. They identified him, and they were able to stick with him. And now he's here near the end, and he's the 83rd national player, and he has a 95% rating. And K-State's one of the finalists for him. So that shows you, again, that's another example of how far K-State has come in recruiting. And again, the job that this coaching staff has done, really kind of staying true to what they're doing on the recruiting trail, and really being able to kind of just elevate the program. So, you know, kudos to them. You mentioned kudos to the Brat, kudos to Coach Klieman, his entire staff. You know, to everybody around, and the coordinators. I mean, you know, obviously, Colin Klein and Joe Klanderman, you know, players want to come play for those guys. I mean, you know, they do. And it's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, it's great to see. It's great to see K-State actually be, you know, in the running for that. And, you know, Eddie, how great would it be if K-State beats Oklahoma, you know, beats out Oklahoma for two recruits? I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So, you know, if K-State got Bricks, then, you know, Oklahoma was recruiting Massey, too. So, I mean, that's two... that you would get that Oklahoma was going after. And I believe that Oklahoma is also going after Vignowski as well. So that could potentially be three that you could beat Oklahoma out for. They are. It's pretty much between K-State and Oklahoma for Gronkowski as well. So K-State could potentially, you know, beat Oklahoma for three players, which would just be insane if K-State could do that. It just shows you how far they've really come.
Yes, they have. That would be uncharted territory for sure if K-State were to knock off Oklahoma in that department. We'll have to see what happens. But tonight, K-State gets Caden Massey there. So, big get right there, as we talked about here in the first part of this podcast, Pro Project Podcast, all things K-State. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out west in San Diego, California. Episode 164 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. By the time this podcast is published, it'll be 63 days until kickoff between Southeast Missouri State and K-State at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. That is a 6 o'clock.
Will Eddie be there? Will Eddie be there?
We are planning on being there. Absolutely.
No, Eddie will be there.
I'll be
there. Get your tickets, everybody. Actually, the tickets might be gone. The tickets are flying this week.
Yeah, we already got our home season tickets already. So, yep, we're planning on being there. Yep, and our tickets.
So you're going to be at every game. You're going to be at every game.
More than likely so, yeah.
Wow, okay, you guys. So. Guys, if you're out of the stadium, go tell Eddie hello.
Yeah.
Go say hello to Eddie.
Yes, unless there's an audible called, but plan on being there for all the home games. Yeah, so we're excited about that.
Wow.
Excited to see what K-State can do, but until then, a lot to talk about there leading up to that. And now, kind of switching gears over real quick here. Yesterday, Big 12, of course, what's also coming up here pretty quick is Big 12 Media Days, folks, in Arlington, Texas there. Two-day event, July 12th, on Wednesday, July 12th, and Thursday, July 13th. So 12th and 13th of July, these will be held down. This is going to be the first Media Days for the new teams, like at BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston. And most of these teams are bringing the most, or it's five, of course, but K-State bringing four, pretty much what they did last year. Will Howard, Cooper Beebe, Daniel Green, who was there last year, coming back to Media Days, and Kobe Salvage, bouncing back from that ACL, he will be representing K-State as well. So exciting stuff there. I'm looking at some of the important players here. I'm just going to bounce around here. Well, actually, I'm just going to go right down the line here and call out one name. Blake Shapen will represent Baylor. Baylor will bring five. BYU will have wide receiver Cody Epps. UCF, they'll have John Reese Plumlee, quarterback for them.
Yeah, he's good.
That's why I hear. That's why he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, Emory Jones, a former Florida quarterback, is going to be representing Cincinnati. There, he was at Arizona State last year. There,
yeah.
So he's bounced around the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, bringing four there. They're going to be led by O-lineman Patrick Paul, Iowa State. Jalen Noel, wide receiver there. And, of course, KU, Jalen Daniels.
Yeah.
Represent them, along with Devin Neal and two others. OU, Dylan Gabriel, and, of course, their talented wide receiver, Drake Stoops. Half of that group there. Oklahoma State, bringing Preston Wilson, offensive lineman, and Brennan Presley, and two more. TCU, Bud Clark, safety for them, representing them. And, of course, Texas, guess who? Yes, Quinn Ewers, Xavier Worthy. Yep. They bring five. Texas Tech. A lot of people have Texas Tech, including yours truly, the sleeper pick, to try to make it to Arlington. They got Tyler Schlaw, quarterback, and looks like the D-line of Jalen Hutchins also. So that's two of the five. And West Virginia will bring linebacker Lee Copobia. Probably Richard's last time. Apologize about that. And offensive line, Zach Frazier, and that's two of the five they're bringing. So, Alex, soon enough, we're going to be approaching Big 12 Media Days. How pumped up are you about that? And how about the K-State representatives there?
Good grief, dude. I knew that Big 12 Media Days was next month. I did not realize it's like 2 weeks away. That's insane. And it's 2 weeks away. What, Eddie? Where has the summer gone? Like, where's it gone?
I don't know where it's gone, man.
I don't know where it's gone. First off, you mentioned something. I meant to bring this up at the beginning of the pause. I do understand. By the time we have our next pod, we will officially have new members of the Big 12. I believe that they become members July 1st. I think it's the beginning of July. So
yeah, I think so as well.
Welcome.
Yep.
So welcome officially. We have pre-welcomed BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston to the conference, but officially welcome to them to the Big 12 because they will be a part of it next week. They will officially be a part of the conference. So no more talking about it. They're here, Eddie. They're here. They're official members beginning next week. So congrats to them on that. I know we're all excited to have them. But with Big 12 Media Days, you know, that sounds about right for K-State's list. Obviously, Will Howard's going to be there. Obviously, you're going to have Daniel Green there, new screen. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, Kobe Savage absolutely deserves to be there. I mean, he's, you know, he really is the heart of that team, you know, or in the heart of that defense, and really should be there. So I really like that he is going, and I think that you've just got to really, and obviously Cooper Beebe. I mean, of course he should be there. One of the hearts of the offense. So you got two. You literally have your two hearts on the offense and your two hearts on the defense. I mean, that is. They are truly the two. Cooper Beebe and Will Howard are probably the two most impactful players that K-State has on offense. And Daniel Green is probably the most impactful player on defense. I think you can make an argument that Kobe Savage could be the second, because the way he holds that secondary down is lights out. And they're all leaders. They're all really good leaders too. That's the great thing. Yeah, you know, I think that's a great list. You know, again, I'll refer back to Will Howard because I heard him on the 3-Mile earlier today. You know, he mentioned that one of the things that he was working on was becoming more of a leader this year. There was a couple things that he talked about that he was working on, but one of the things he's working on is becoming more of a leader. This is going to be a great opportunity for him, Eddie, going down to Dallas and Arlington for Media Days and being able to represent K-State and, you know, kind of his first time in a role like that since they won the Big 12. I think that's going to be great for him. And, you know, just another sign of Will. I'm really excited about Will Howard in general and seeing him in a leadership role. That's something that I actually think he's going to thrive in. If you listen to him talk and just what he has to say and just how insightful he is and how positive he is, you know, it's really refreshing, and I think that he's got a ton of respect within that locker room. I think he's going to be a tremendous leader for them. I really, really do. And I think that they're going to have a really healthy locker room with him at the helm. So I know he said that's something he's working on. I think he's going to do a tremendous job of it. I think he'll do an amazing job of going down and representing K-State at Big 12 Media Days. I think all four of those guys will. You know, Daniel Green is down there last year. He's tremendous. He always is tremendous. Kobe Savage is tremendous as well. And so, you know, you're going to have some of your best down there. You know, not just best football players, but some of your best people. And I think that's going to be really special for them. Hopefully it's something that they don't forget. And also, Eddie, hopefully it's not the last time that they're down there. You know, hopefully they're down there again in early December. That's the hope. And, you know, that'll be, you know, that's the beginning of the journey. You know, that really is the beginning of the journey when you go down there for Media Days and you're able to do that. That's a good opportunity for them. But I'm excited for it, Eddie. It's exciting. There's going to be a lot of good sound that comes from it, a lot of good interviews. It's really going to be the official kickoff of kind of this next academic year for sports and for football in particular. And eager to see the way that goes. And then also, just a quick side note to Will Howard, he was at the Manning passing camp this last week as well. And, you know, he spoke about that a little bit on 3-Mile 2 and that experience. You know, hopefully he'll be able to, again, you know, take stuff he learned there and be able to translate it into this upcoming year. But excited for it. Excited for Big 12 Media Days. I know there's going to be a lot of good coverage down there. I'm definitely excited to see what the players have to say, what Coach Klima has to say. It's close, Eddie. It's close. It's 2 weeks away.
Yes, it is. That is for sure. Yeah, I think Will Howard's already become that leader from second half of last year. He's really starting to develop into that leader that you would have heard me say that a couple years ago when this podcast started. To see him grow and mature the way he is right now, and really just stacking those blocks the way he came on last year, and anxious really to see what he's going to do next at the helm. Number one guy now, for sure. Now it's a lot different being that guy instead of being the
That's what he said today. He said this off season has been, you know, he said you can sit there and say, you know, I prepare like I'm a starter, and you know, I prepare like one every week. He said it's not the same. He said this is the first off season that I've had where I'm like, I know I'm the starter, and he said it's different. Like this is different than any off season I've had. So like he literally confirmed what you just said.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Sticking with football here on the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State. All right, so we talked, again, 2 episodes ago about the offense here. Let's flip the coin over to defense. You mentioned Kobe Savage and Daniel Green. They can be, well, both of them are the hearts and soul. And might be when Daniel Green obviously moves on to the NFL. Well, actually, Kobe Savage is going to be a senior this year. I just looked at that. That's going to be huge losses on both fronts, but we're far from that. So, Alex, just like we did with the offense, one thing you're excited about this defense here. Again, they gave up last year an average of just a tad over 20 points a game last year. They're obviously, when you think about this defense last year, what comes to mind is the goal line stand in the Big 12 Championship last year against TCU there, and of course Tyson there did the rest there. So what do you expect with this defense? There's no Felix there this year there. So what do you think? What are you excited about?
You know, Eddie, I think I'm a little more bullish on this defense than some others. I think that a lot of people think that the defense might regress some this year, and I don't think the defense will probably be as good as last year's defense, but I don't think it's going to be like anything, you know, that's crazy different. I still think that K-State's going to have a top half of the Big 12 defense. I mean, I still think that that's going to be a thing, and I still think that they could have. I mean, last year they had, golly, probably the second or third best defense in the Big 12, Eddie, probably somewhere around there. I mean, yeah. They were up there pretty high. They were definitely one of the best defenses. Iowa State probably had the best defense. Iowa State's defense is really good, which is ironic because they're 4-8. But outside of Iowa State, I think that Texas may have been second and K-State third. You could have made an argument like that, or maybe you flip it to K-State second, Texas third. But I think that those were your top three defenses last year in the Big 12. And look, is K-State going to be a top three defense? They may not be a top three. They may not be. But do I think that they can finish, you know, there's 14 teams. So I think that they'll be in the top seven, top six. Yeah, I think that they'll be within that range. So I'm a little more bullish on them than some. I think that, you know, there's some question marks. And, you know, they'll have some struggles in some areas, especially early on. A lot of new guys. But I'm kind of bullish. But I'm not going to get cute with this particular answer. I could. I definitely could, but you know, for me, it's Daniel Green. I mean, that's absolutely what I'm most excited about. And it's really not that close because, number one, Eddie, I never thought he was coming back. I mean, when I knew he was coming back, I was like...
Probably nobody thought he was coming back.
I don't want to know. I know. I mean, Chris Klieman said that he... I can't remember who he was speaking with, but he said... He said I had to pull over on the side of the road when he called and told me and said, are you messing with me, like, right now? Like, you know, like, that would be the best Christmas present. Not Christmas, birthday present. That was the best birthday present. I think it was his birthday. Right around there. But yeah, he said he had to pull over on the road when he said that was what he was, that he was thinking, what, you know, possibly coming back. But last year he was playing hurt and he was dinged up and we just never saw, we didn't see the real Deuce Green. I just didn't feel like we saw it last year. You know, we saw it a couple years ago. He was really, really good. And then last year, he was supposed to have this just fantastic year, breakout year. And he was dinged up the entire year. And we just never saw him be himself. And it kind of sucked, Eddie, because he's so fun to watch when he's really good. And he just, the way he flies around the field and makes plays, it's just a blast to watch. And so it really you know, stunk that, you know, we couldn't see that. So
yeah.
I want to see healthy Dino Green. I think that's it more than anything. I don't know if I would have picked him if he was healthy last year and decided to come back again. But I'm excited for that. I'm excited to really see him healthy flying around that defense. And I'm just excited about it too, because there's going to be some younger players on this defense, in particular in the linebacking core. They got a lot of the new guys coming to the linebacking core, and having Dino Green there to be able to teach them, coach them up, and to really kind of lead by example, I think is something that's going to be really good for him. So, really excited for Dino Green.
Yeah, and he's going to be paired up again with Austin Moore. Both of these are going to be seniors. Austin Moore really came on last year there, so I'm anxious to see what he's going to do. He kind of came out of left field. I know he's going to be this good, but he brings his lunch pail with him each and every day, works hard. Your typical Canson. This goes out, minds his own business, does his thing. So that's going to be a real good pairing there. And, of course, you have, looking at this depth chart here, you have Terry Kirksley Jr., Jake Clifton, all underclassmen there. So, yeah, I mean, that's the group right there. Again, more on that later on this summer. I'm excited about. That's a good question. I gotta go with. I mentioned Felix earlier. I gotta go with this front, and in general, with obviously, and another guy that also came out of left field, and the return. Well, first off, the return of Khalid Duke to the defensive line.
He was my number two.
Yeah, I'm excited what he does there. He's going to replace Felix there in that spot, and that's his true position right there. Rush the passer, get in the quarterback's face. So I'm anxious to see what he does healthy. A healthy Khalid Duke, get in the backfield, makes wreck havoc. And on the other side of that, another surprise last year. It took advantage, of course, unfortunately, he had injuries there. Nate Matlock was in and out of the starting lineup. Brennan Mott. What you're going to do in the second year. He really came on late last year, and he's going to be a senior too. Damn, there's going to be a lot of seniors on this defense.
Yeah, thank goodness they had that good recruiting class we were just raving about in 2023.
Exactly. I didn't realize we're going to have that many seniors just as much as the offense.
Seniors.
So, but I don't want to jump that far, but Brennan Mott, what you're going to do, can you, once again, step up your game like you did last year, up to another level. So take the pressure off of Khalid. I think Brennan Mott, he's just on another different motor than there as well. He had that game with multiple sacks. I think it was West Virginia game. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for that defense and for Joe Klanneman, once again, bringing that defense once again. I think this defense, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a top of a league defense. It has to be. It was top three last year. I mean, sometimes you get the bend and break. You have the bend, don't break defense. It can work. Sometimes can't not. But other times, this defense was dominant, too, last year at times as well. Guys stepping up there that, you know, guys went down like Echo Boydo last year, I think, in the championship game went down, and Jacob Parrish stepped right on in it. Jacob Parrish, prior to that, I mentioned this on this podcast last season, he played in spurts last season, but he really shined last year there at a spot. Now, obviously, he's going to be the starting corner over there, and alongside him, at least right now, is Jordan Wright, according to what I'm looking at this depth chart over here for K-State right now. So, anxious to see how he does there, now being that guy, obviously. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what Khalid Duke and Brennan Mott do up front. And, obviously, let's not forget about transfer Javon Banks from Mississippi State there as well. So, this D-line is a little bit deep, too. So, I'm excited for it. Again, going back to what we said earlier in this podcast, Gotta win in the trenches. Gotta win in the trenches. And I think just based on what we looked at last year and what's on paper, and obviously you can't win games on paper. We all know that. You gotta win games on the field. But just looking at it from that aspect, at least for right now, nobody's played no games yet. K-State set up for success, both in the offensive line and D-line.
They are. Again, the defensive line was really kind of the number two area for me, Khalid Duke in particular, because you mentioned it last year, they kind of experimented with him, right? You know, he's coming off of his injury. They moved him to linebacker, and they play him a little bit there. And, you know, that's not his natural position. It really is. And I just, it just never, he had moments and he had spurts, but he was never kind of the Khalid that we knew. We've mentioned this before, this 3-3-5 that they kind of constructed, when they initially constructed this, Eddie, their thought was to do it around Khalid.
Yeah.
And we've never seen Khalid actually at that position in this defensive scheme because he suffered that injury, right off the bat and 2 years ago. And then, last year they kind of moved him to linebacker, in part because of his injury. And I think that was it. I think also part of it was, he had Felix and, Nate Matlack as well. I think that was also, a big piece of it. So, I'm excited that he is moving back to his natural position. I'm excited that we're actually going to see him healthy. Again, I kind of get back to the Daniel Green thing. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be back at his natural position in a defense that was built kind of around him. I think that there's a lot of talk about, man, this front's not going to be as good. I mean, you're losing Eli Huggins and you're losing Felix and what are you going to do? Like, you're losing a lot up front. And I get it, you're going to get Eli Huggins, near impossible to replace. Felix, near impossible to replace. But it's a good line. I think it's a good line. I like Lee Duke. I believe in him. I think he can do a good job. Nate Matlack was injured all of last year. You're going to get him back healthy. You mentioned Mott, who was able to break out because of Matlack's injuries. And then you've got Banks, a transfer, who's coming in. Who, again, is he Eli Huggins? No, but is he a guy who can play on the defensive line and give you some quality snaps and kind of eat the middle? Maybe take some double teams and, free up the ends? Yeah. Like, he's got the ability to do that, I think. And so, I like the D line. I like where they're at. I get that Felix, first-round draft pick, Eli Huggins, he saved the Big 12 championship. And, these are iconic guys. I get it, but I'm excited about the D-line. I think the K-State, again, looking at where they are from a D-line perspective, from a linebacker perspective, those first two levels of the defense, I feel pretty good about that because, again, I trust Khalid Duke and kind of leading that front with the healthy Nate Matlack. And then that middle line, as long as you got two screen there, you're going to be in business.
Yes, you are. So that's kind of a look. Oh, okay. So almost forgot. So we look at the exciting thing there, Alex. So let's now flip it to the other side now. So as much as we talk about this defense, what is one thing that's concerning you heading into the 2023 K-State football season?
Secondary. That one's pretty easy for me. I'm not as bullish on the secondary as I am the first two levels. I do like a lot of the potential that they have at the secondary. I really like Will Lee. I think Will Lee could be a stud at corner. He's only a sophomore. There were a lot of teams coming after him late. JUCO guy. I think he could be a good player. You mentioned Jordan Wright. I think Jordan Wright could be a good player. You mentioned Parrish last year in his first year. Was really, really good. I think there's a lot there to build off of. They've got some freshmen coming in. And again, I don't think that we'll necessarily see anything, but Donovan McIntosh, he was one of their top freshmen in that class last year. Do you get any snaps from him? Probably nothing significant, but, he's a guy who's got upside. Same thing with Conjay Thomas. They've got some guys that you like there. But at corner, it's a young room. You're going from you're going, well, K-State had the best cornerback duo. Let's just call it what it was. They had the best cornerback duo in the Big 12 last year. You know, had Evan Boydo and you had Julius Prince. They're both in the NFL now. Okay, I mean, they are, both of them. One of them got drafted in the third round, and, no, second round, 44th overall, and the other signed a deal as an undrafted free agent. So they're both playing NFL football. They were two seniors. They were rocks on the outside. That's, again, impossible to replace, Eddie. That's impossible to replace. So that's going to be tough to do. And there's going to be a lot of probably a lot of mixing and matching that I would assume going on.
Especially early in the season.
Chris Klein is going to have to kind of figure out kind of who he's got, who he trusts, what's his best mix of players. Again, I'm with you. I think that we're going to see a lot of Jordan Wright. I think we're going to see a lot of a lot of Parrish out there. Again, I'm bullish on Will Lee. I think he's going to get some snaps and be out there as well. But who's going to step up? Who's going to step up at that corner position and really kind of rise to the crops? I mean, that's something that's a little concerning because of what you're replacing and because of how young you are at that particular position. And honestly, the same thing kind of applies to the safety spot. You know, again, I like Will Howard to have a safety. You know, I mean, they've got VJ Payne. You know, they've got oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. He was a transfer from North Dakota State. Was it Sieg?
Marcus Siegel.
Marcus Siegel. I knew it. The North Dakota State. I would expect that he will play a lot. And so you know, I think that he's going to probably be a plug and play guy that you'll have in there. And obviously you'll have Kobe, Savage out there as well. But he's kind of got the injury question.
That's the thing. I haven't heard anything yet. About
when did he take the field?
Yep.
When did he start practicing?
Yeah.
You know, when can he actually play in games? When he can play in games, Eddie, is he the Cody Savage we saw last year, or is he going to be recovering? Because he probably won't be 100% to start. So that's a question mark. So again, there's a lot I like about that whole secondary at both corner and safety, but there's a lot of question marks there, and you're just younger. You're just a lot younger back there. And Chris Klieman and Joe Klanderman are going to be doing a lot of mixing and matching, trying to figure out what is the best combo back here that's really the most effective.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I agree 100%. Yeah, it's the secondary. I got down here as well. The question mark about we talked about Kobe Savage earlier in this podcast. He's going to media days as he should, but how healthy is he on the football field and when he's going to start back practicing? I haven't heard too much about that now. Maybe other K-State media that are closer to the team might know more than us, but I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen no tweets about that. VJ Payne, what are you going to do in your second year? He came on a little late last year and replaced Kobe Savage. Yes, he gave up some big plays, but also made some plays too. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, you talked about Siegel already. I'm excited about him coming from North Dakota State. I think he's going to be good for that secondary there. I mentioned Wright already. He's going to be a senior there. He's going to need a lot of work in a name that we have not mentioned. As we're deep in this podcast, we saw him surprisingly on the other side of the ball in the Big 12 title. That is Keenan Garber over there backing up Jacob Parrish. Again, I'm looking at the depth chart right now, late June, here on the Pro Project Podcast, episode 164, Keenan Garber. Will he get more snaps in the secondary? We'll have to see about that. Yeah, there are a lot of young guys. Wesley Fair, part of that historic recruiting class on this depth chart, too.
Another guy I'm high on.
Yep, me too. Me too as well. So, yeah, this is still the Big 12. We're going to still have to see guys throw the ball around. And so you got to get the kinks worked out early. I had a football schedule up here earlier. Okay, yeah, so you got to get the kinks worked out earlier because you have Troy. No disrespect to Southeast Missouri State, but you got Troy, who was won 10 plus games last year there. Of course, that first road game against Missouri at Mizzou. And then, of course, UCF at home, and then Oklahoma State. Hopefully, I probably, it's hard to guess right now, but hopefully around that time, you can get your secondary figured out who plays better with who, right? So that's kind of what I'm, concerned about as well going into this season there as a secondary, you know. Like you said, two guys are in the NFL now. One got drafted, the other one just signed recently, Boyd Doe. I thought he signed on, I can't remember where he signed on.
Chiefs.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, Chiefs. Yeah, I thought so.
He and Felix are reunited.
I thought so. I thought so. Yeah, so congratulations to Echo there on joining a fellow K-State teammate there, Felix, their first-round draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, yeah, so you have to find that match there. And, yeah, your other leader, Kobe Savage, in that backfield, you definitely going to need him, obviously, against those teams. So, yeah, that's kind of my concern going in here is how well the secondary is going to play out here in 2023.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, and just to kind of put a cherry on top of this with the secondary, I'll say it again. There's a lot of guys that I'm high on. And so I think that there is a scenario where, you know, they go out there and Chris Clem is able to find, you know, what he likes early and what he thinks is going to work. Because there's just guys that I think have high ceilings. That's the good, again, that kind of gets back to the good news of good transfers and good, a good job of recruiting is now you're not just kind of pulling guys that maybe have limited ceilings. I mean, you're pulling guys that are really could be good players. And you mentioned BJ Payne. I think that he will take a step. This year, again, he's only a sophomore. I mean, he got thrown in there as a freshman,
right? Yeah,
into the fire. You know, he's going to get a chance. I really think so. And you know, Siegel, yeah, he's going to be a plug and play guy. I think that you're going to see him out there on the field a lot. If we do see a rookie, speaking like NFL, if we do see a rookie out there, we do see a freshman out there. Even Wesley Fair. I was going to mention him too. I'm high on Wesley Fair. If he was on the field for a couple games, you know, kind of like we saw with BJ Payne last year, kind of like we saw with Jacob Harris last year, would not surprise
Wouldn't
me.
Surprise.
Yeah, he was a player that was from Wichita brought him. One of those in-staters that we were just raving about in that top 12. But I'm high on him too, and think that he could make an impact. So there's a lot of things to like. And it's funny, you did mention, Keenan Garber. And look, man, if he plays when we play the Big 12 Championship, sign me up. if that's what we're going to get, you know, from him, yeah, I'm cool with him in corner. You know, he's a senior, right? You know, he's a senior. He's been around the block. He just hasn't been around a block a ton at corner. But, hey, he's had a whole offseason, Eddie. He's had an whole offseason to learn corner, not 2 weeks like he did before the Big 12 championship. So, do I think he'll be a starter? I'd be surprised if he was a starter.
Significant
minutes. But do I think we could see him on the field rotation? Sure. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, again, you're young, you're mixing and matching. I don't see why not. You know, I really don't. I know I mentioned Donovan McIntosh briefly, but he would be the other, if you're just saying like, ooh, it's a freshman who could potentially play some snaps. Wouldn't surprise me if Donovan McIntosh played again, you know, really, really good player in high school. Really, really good recruit. Really, really bullish on kind of what he can be. A guy who I think has a high ceiling. And so, you've seen those players who have come in and played as a freshman before. But the good news is I don't think you're going to see that a lot with K-State. Because I really do think they'll have something with Jordan Wright and Jacob Parrish there, kind of in the Echo, Brent's role. And then, again, you know, having Payne and Siegel there at safety. And then when you're getting back, Savage, you can have him in there too. So, again, I think that you've got some nice pieces there if you can figure it out.
Yo, You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
It is the top of the hour, 11 Central Time PM, folks. We're getting pretty much close to wrapping this thing up here. Episode 164 of the Purple Project Podcast. Weekly edition, Eddie Greer, Alex in here. They're wrapping up football here for the week there. So that's kind of our offense. We did, if you missed out on that, go check that out first. Offense expectations. And then, of course, I threw in postcast of Grandma's Marathon. Check that out if you haven't already. Then listen to this podcast, this episode, which will go out tomorrow. Be published out. It'll be handed out tomorrow evening at some point there as well. One quick thing. I'm going to switch things to the diamond here. And then we're going to wrap things up here with a podcast here. Also, breaking news as well. Kalen Culpepper, the sophomore duo for K-State Baseball. Kalen Culpepper and Tyson Nabors, the outstanding closer. Culpepper plays third base for the Wildcats, for those who don't know, have been selected to the USA Collegiate National Team. I'll have more on this at some point later this weekend. But big for K-State there. I had a feeling that both of them would get on the team there, and my gut was right. Tyson Nabors, who had a slew of postseason awards, and Kalen Culpepper, the talented third baseman, had just been selected. This was a few hours ago, by the way. The USA Collegiate National Team, which will start playing tomorrow, actually. It's June 30th through July 12th there as well. So, big represents for K-State there on that front. Alex, sir.
Huge. Absolutely huge. Two players that were just integral to what they did this last year. Look, we've spoken at length with Tyson Nabors and the job that he did, and best closer in the Big 12. Easily. He'll be one of the top picks in the MLB draft here. At the end of this next year?
I think it's the end of next year.
He'll be one of the top guys. He was huge for K-State. K-State obviously would not have won as many games as they did without him, kind of anchoring. And he didn't just anchor. We talked about this in depth a few weeks ago. He didn't just anchor. I mean, he came in and was like pitching 3-4 innings as a closer. had times on the back end, which we'd actually prefer that they not do that as much next year.
That's another podcast.
Go back and listen.
Do that, folks.
We did go deep into that. But point being is he was lights out. He really was lights out. Was tremendous. And Culpepper was when he wasn't getting hit by a pitch, he was great. He felt like he was getting hit by a pitch in the hand like every other at bat. In that game, I don't know if I've seen it. It's almost like it was a magnet at times. All just literally, he just attracted the ball. But when he was not getting hit by a baseball in the batter's box, he was really, really good for K-State. And I remember there were some making an argument that he should be in consideration as well as top third baseman in the Big 12 last year. So that was a discussion I heard some people having. And again, probably not the top, but in that conversation. So he was really, really good. I can't remember what his batting average was, but it was well over 300. And he was a really good fielder at third as well. He's got a really good glove, got a good bat, he's got a good eye. I mean, he's just a good baseball player all around. So he's one of the players that I'm really, really excited about to see how he can evolve. If you ask me who I was most excited for, if we did that exercise for baseball, Culpepper would probably be at the top of my list. I'm really excited to see the jump that he can take because I think he could be just a star. I really think he's got that type of potential in him. So I'm glad that he's getting the recognition because I think he deserves it. And I think at times it kind of got overshadowed this year. So kudos to him. Kudos to Tyson Nabors, both very well deserving. Good news to the Cats. They'll both be back next year.
Yes, they will. Just got done, both of them, Tyson Nabors and Kalen Culpepper, just got done with their sophomore seasons. And they're going to have 2 years under the belt. They're going to have this experience. And we will, don't worry, Alex, we will have to exercise for baseball come 2024. next year, so we'll have the exercise ready to go for sure on that front. And of course, you had a College World Series wrapped up last weekend there with LSU taking the national title there, which it felt like Baton Rouge, if I'm totally be honest with you there, with their historical history there at Omaha LSU. So man, that was some atmosphere though over there.
It was quite the atmosphere, because you're right, LSU just took over Omaha. And not just that, the series was so weird, because game one was close, right? First off, kudos to TCU. TCU made it, I think, the final four. I mean, TCU made it the final four. They got hot in Manhattan and rode it all the way damn near to the championship, literally damn near to the championship. I mean, they were on some sort of heater, dude. I mean, that thing lasted about 2 months, or a month and a half. But getting back to LSU, Florida, that first game was really close. But game two, Florida just blew the doors off of LSU. It was like 21-5 or 21-4. Florida won in game two, and then LSU turns around and went 18-4 in the rubber match. And it was probably the weirdest College World Series that I can remember in recent history. But hey, man, LSU got it, and they took over that place.
They sure did. So that's in the books there. We got a lot of things going on in Manhattan. We covered a lot on this episode here. Audible episode here. We had a special guest lined up, and he had something come up there at the last minute there, so he couldn't be able to join us there. That's your clue there. I'm going to leave that out there for you guys there. We'll get that rescheduled here. And we got a couple of guests down the pipeline here for July. We almost got July booked with guests already, so this might have to be... I know we got a lot of stuff going on in the summertime, obviously, but we're going to fit in a two-week show. Two shows a week. There you go. 2 weeks a show. I cannot talk. 2 days full of shows there. So we'll see what happens there. We'll keep you updated on that. But, yeah, yes, K-State Nation almost booked solid for the month of July already. So, like I said at the top, very excited for this podcast here as... we are about to enter July as of this weekend. Crazy, crazy stuff, folks. But again, we covered a lot on this podcast here today on this episode 164 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. You're new to the pod. Welcome on board to the show. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. If you like what you're hearing, definitely make sure you subscribe. Subscribe, hit that alert button every time we post weekly or daily content. The dailies will be in and out, but they'll pick back up when we get rolling with K-State soccer, which we're going to talk about here next month as well. So a lot going on here in Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, home of K-State University. Alex, last thought, sir, for the night.
You know, last thoughts, I'll talk about this just again because we didn't really get to it today. But again, K-State basketball looking to fill those last two spots. Joe Toussaint from West Virginia in town. Would be a fantastic addition. Don't know if they'll get him or not. glad that they got him to Manhattan, because he would be an absolute perfect fit for the Desi Sills role, and
would take some pressure off him. Yes,
he shoots three better than Desi. No offense to Desi, because I love Desi, but he shoots a three better than Desi. He averaged. He's played big time basketball. Played at West Virginia last year. That was the Big 12. Played at Iowa for 3 years prior. He's played in over 130 games, so he has experience. He averaged 9.5 a game last year at West Virginia. So he would be absolutely perfect fit for somebody who they can plug in, take some pressure off of those young guards, which we talked about last week with RJ and Day-Day. He'd be a great fit. If they don't land him, they'll be fine. They'll find somebody else, but that would be big for them. And they've gotten a big as well from West Virginia that did too. And I'm not I'm blanking on his name right now, but it would also be a good gift for them to be able to add him to the fold. So we'll see what happens there. We may have more news for you guys and gals next week when we get back on the pod for basketball, or maybe we won't. Who knows? But either way, we'll see what happens there as K-State looks to fill out the roster. Again, Jerome Tang made it clear. He said, we're filling this roster up. So they are going to fill those last two spots, and they are looking for an experienced guard. So Joe Toussaint could be that guy. But also, Eddie, I wish everybody a happy 4th, a safe 4th.
Yep, that's right, yep.
And then everybody can have a good time. Don't blow yourself up with the fireworks.
Oh, boy.
Don't do anything dumb. I know it's tempting. But stay safe. Enjoy it with family, friends, loved ones, and it should be a good time for all. But happy 4th to all of our Purple Project podcast listeners.
And that's a good place to put a pin on it for this week on the Purple Project podcast. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas, Alex in San Diego, California. Enjoy the 4th of July. We'll be back a couple of days after that, obviously, with brand new episode of the podcast. Until then, enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll talk to y'all next week. K-State Nation, Alex, we'll do it again next week.
I'll talk to everybody next week. Have a good 4th.
Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!